So we'll begin with chapter two, which is basically understanding or importance of media from marketing perspective. So in this chapter, we'll try to learn about or understand the concept of marketing mix. Then we'll try to understand the importance of knowing the target market, then know about the marketplace, then know about certain market indices like BDI, CDI. We'll talk about that in detail. And then, know about certain other parameters which are important in the context of marketing. Now, there are four P's to marketing and media. Okay. So we'll talk about these four P's and then we'll try to understand that with the help of the examples. Okay. So for any business, four things that are very, very important amongst others is that the first one is product. Now, a product or a service basically product is tangible, service is intangible, but having a product or a service in the first place is very important. So let's take example of one of the advertisers which we saw in the previous chapters, L'Oreal. So L'Oreal has this amongst many other categories, they have this one product called casting creme gloss, which is basically a hair color. So basically, why a product is needed, why a product like this is needed, is that people often have a need of coloring their hair. So basically, in this case, this product is satisfying the need of the consumer. So that is where a product is. So the first thing that is important for a business is having a product or a service, right? Then the most important thing, again, the second P is price. Now, price defines a lot of things for the brand. It defines what is the profit and loss of the company or for that individual brand. So price is dependent on multiple factors. Again, taking the same example of casting creme gloss. Now, this is a kind of a premium product or a premium hair color, which comes for around 250 rupees. For one application, so for one application it's kind of an expensive product, but that's what the price that the company has decided, because obviously the premium ingredients that go into it, or there's marketing costs associated with it, and then there is obviously the price is placed in such a way that after the distribution, etc., there's going to be a good amount of margin that is left so that the product or the company benefits from it as a part of profit. So the second part, like I said, is price. Then another or the third important part is place. Now, place is basically a place of distribution. Now, again, let's take the same example, the casting creme gloss. Now, this product is available probably at chemist shops, or it is also available in the modern trades like, let's say, DMart. Or even if you want to buy it online, you can buy this product on Amazon or Flipkart. So in this case, the place or the place of distribution becomes either the modern trade or become a chemist shop or become your online platforms or like Amazon and Flipkart. So that's the place wherein a consumer has an access, a consumer has a direct access of buying it. So that's place, right? So this was the third P. And last but not the least is promotion. Now, company has the product, but if people do not know about that product, then it's not going to get sold, right? So it is important that the promotion also happens for the product, right? Now, that promotion can happen in multiple ways. It can happen either through paid media or own media or earned media. Actually, it's not or, it's actually an and. It happens through paid media, it happens through owned, and also happens through earned media. So again, taking the same example, casting creme gloss, you'll see the ads of casting creme gloss on TV, you'll see that on magazines like lifestyle magazines, you can also see that on YouTube. So that's paid part. Then, L'Oreal will advertise or put posts about this product through their handles on social media, right? Or on their website, you will get the information available for product, that which is owned media. And the earned media is when there could be a PR that the company would have activated or you know, people in general talking about the product. So for example, a friend can recommend to a person can recommend to their friends about this product, which is a free word of mouth publicity that is happening, which is earned media, right? So a promotion is also very important. Now, just to summarize this four P's of marketing, this product or a service, basically a product, if it's a product, it's a tangible product, or a service, it's an intangible service that is offered to a customer or a consumer to satisfy their needs. Then comes the price, which is very important because it defines the profit and loss of company and thereby the survival of company. Then comes the place, which is the place of distribution. It could be modern trades, like offline distribution or online distribution, like an Amazon. And then comes the promotion. The promotion could be paid, could be owned, and could be earned, right? So these are the four P's of marketing, which is very important for us to understand. Now, this diagram basically, shows us that the four P's, product, price, place, and promotion, they are actually interlinked, and that is what kind of forms the marketing mix for any brand. So what's the relation between a media plan and a marketing plan, right? So media plan can actually be considered as at the center or at the epicenter of a marketing plan. So marketing plan is basically a very broad plan, and it consists of a lot of things. Media plan is basically at the center of it, is basically the execution of that marketing plan, right? So let's in the context of media plan and a marketing plan, right, whenever a media planner is trying to make a media plan, it will not be beneficial for that media planner only to think about that media plan, but he or she has to think about the entire marketing plan, right? He or she needs to get information about, all the information about the product, all information about the business, and, what is the marketing plan, what are the communication assets, everything. So media plan cannot work in isolation. A media planner needs to get a complete understanding of the marketing plan and then implement that marketing plan through media plan. Thereby, the media plan is basically at the center. The diagram in the next slide explains it very beautifully. So here we see marketing plan is basically the outer periphery that we see. That's the all-encompassing or a very broad marketing plan. Then in that marketing plan, there's marketing objective, which is there, basically what we want that marketing plan to do for us. Then there's advertising objective, like what the advertising will achieve for us for that marketing plan. Then comes the media objectives and strategies. So if there's a media plan, if we are to make a media plan, what should be our key performance indicators to gauge the success of that media plan? And lastly, which we've been discussing about, media plan is basically at the epicenter of this marketing plan. Basically, the execution of this marketing plan happens through media plan, right? So that is the relationship between a marketing plan and a media plan. Now, in knowing the market, defining the right audience is very, very important, right? Because this consumer, we need to know someone who is planning the media. They need to know what is the consumer behavior, what is the characteristic of that particular audience, because that's the first step of making a media plan. If we do not know who our consumer is, what are their what are their interests, or where we can find them, defining such things is very important. And hence, knowing about consumer behavior or characteristics of that audience is extremely important. Then comes defining the markets for our media plan. I mean, this is a very, very crucial stage. very often, right, brands do not have infinite money. Almost always, all the marketing campaigns, they come up with a certain kind of a budget. Now, if there's an X amount of budget and we need to fulfill certain objectives of the marketing plan, then we have to take decisions on prioritizing the markets, right? So, for example, if we consider India as the India as an entire market wherein the products are available for a particular brand, it doesn't mean that we can advertise across all the India, because that would be very expensive, right? Hence, you know, defining the markets or prioritizing the markets is very, very important for us, which we will see how the markets are prioritized in the later slides through the BDI CDI indexing that is there. But this is a very, very crucial step wherein we have to decide, we have to take hard calls on, you know, even if there are like, you know, 28 states in India, probably will be active only in first five or top 10 states, right? So that's defining the market for us. Yeah. So in the context of the four P's of marketing, you know, understanding the consumer, you know, it may include understanding the various aspects. It involves, you know, understanding product, price, basically the association between consumer and brand, and, you know, people getting information about the brand. It also obviously has place and promotion, basically, you know, how, when and where consumers are buying the product. And then, you know, what occasion are these people buying the product, right? So these are things which are also very important for us to understand as a part of 4Ps. So as a consumer, we go through multiple stages of a decision-making process. You know, precisely there are six stages through which we go while, you know, making a decision of buying a product. So the first one is obviously the need, right? In order for me to buy a particular kind of a product, I first need to have a need for that product. So for example, let's say I'm in the process of buying or rather I want to buy a car. Let's say a compact SUV is what I want to buy. So there's a need, right? So that's the first stage, that I have a need to buy a compact SUV. Now, after I have the need, the second stage is that I then become aware of the brands, the various brands which are there in that space. So taking examples of, you know, a couple of compact SUVs, this Creta, this Harrier, this Seltos, and then there is, let's say, XUV 700. So these are various brands which are available in the market, right? So because I have the need, then I become aware of multiple brands which are there in the market, right? So once I'm aware of those brands, the next stage is that, you know, I tend to have preferences for certain brands, right? So for example, you know, I may end up reading some articles about, you know, which is probably the best SUV, compact SUV in that space. Probably I will get some recommendations from my friends, and that is when I start developing, you know, preferences for these brands, right? So let's say from the four brands that we mentioned in the awareness stage, I now have a preference about only, let's say, Creta and Seltos, right? So these two brands that I have preference on, but I have still not decided whether I want to buy which one, right? That's when the next stage of the decision-making process is basically getting information. Or the information search. This is where I actually go and seek out information about these two brands. You know, I may search it online. I may go and visit the showrooms, take test drives, etc., and then gather information about these brands. So, for example, the information could be about price. It could be about the mileage. It could be about the features that I'm going to get in that price, or even the variants, right? So that's where the information search is. So this was the fourth stage. And once I have all the information about, let's say, these two brands, then I make a decision. Then I make a purchase after all the consideration. So let's say I out of Seltos and Creta, I bought Creta, right? So that's what my fifth stage is, basically purchasing that product. And the last stage of a decision making process is that after the purchase, the level of satisfaction that I have with the product that I have purchased, right? So these are six stages in which a decision making process happens. Yeah. Additionally, you know, when we are understanding the marketplace, right, there are some basic aspects of understanding the marketplace. Now, you know, we need to know about the product category trends. Then there are brand trends and the share of market that we need to be aware of. Then there is brand's share of requirements. And then lastly, there are indices like BDI, CDI, which we previously spoken about. So we will look at each of these aspects in detail. Yeah. So talking about the product category trends, right? We need to ask certain questions to get this information, right? Like what is the feature of this product? What is the feature of this product or the category? Is it an oligopoly? Is it a monopoly? Or is it a very competitive market, so to say? You know, if we have to take an example, let's just take an example of health food drinks category, which is basically, you know, products like, let's say, Complan, Horlicks, Boost, Bonvita, right? So in this case, when we are seeking for, you know, when we are asking these questions about product category trend, we'll basically try to get information about, let's say, Horlicks is our brand. We'll try to get information about, you know, whether this market is a oligopoly or there's a clutter market. So there are, for Horlicks, there are 4 to 5 major competitors, and then there are, you know, smaller players. So we can probably consider that as, you know, as an oligopoly, right? So that was the first thing, which is getting product category trends. Then, how aggressively do the brands basically, you know, advertise in that space? Is it a very, very fierce competition? Is the category driven by promotions, or they rely heavily on traditional media, or have they shifted their focus from traditional media to online media? Now, again, taking example of Horlicks, the brands, yes, they do compete very fiercely with each other, and the focus right now for them has kind of, you know, shifted from the traditional forms of advertising to, you know, digital media. So these questions we need to ask. Then the next thing is brand trends. Now again, for brand trends, we have to ask certain questions like, you know, how long has this brand present in the market? You know, what do we know about the company that makes the product? So in this case of Horlicks that we have taken, you know, we all know that Horlicks has been present there for maybe 20 plus years. It's a very, very established brand that we know. About the company, initially Horlicks was made by, you know, GSK Pharma, and then probably like last 5 to 6 years back, it was acquired by Hindustan Unilever. So that is what now we know about the brand, the existence of the brand, and, you know, the company that manufactures the product. Again, certain questions like, you know, how successful it has been throughout the history, you know, what is the positioning of the category, you know, how many competitors are there, how many of these competitors are major, how many of them are minor. So let's take again Horlicks' example. How successful Horlicks has been, really, really very successful throughout its tenure, right? What is the positioning? Horlicks probably plays with the positioning of, you know, longer and stronger bones and the immunity claims that the product has, right, over other competitors. Competition, we already spoke about it. It's kind of an oligopoly. There are 4 to 5 major competitors like this Bonvita, this Complan, this Milo, and then there are smaller players, right? And some of them are major, like we said, and some of them are minor. Then the company specific information, like we spoke of, that the transition has happened from GSK to Hindustan Unilever. So what is the financial status of the company? Is it operating in a public sector or a private sector? Or, you know, what is the positioning strategy and why used by their competitor? So in this case, we know that HUL has been a very, very financially strong company. The positioning strategy of their competitors is, again, on the similar lines. You know, again, they're also dealing with, you know, there are X amount of nutrients. Some of them, like Complan, they claim of, you know, taller heights after consumption of Complan. So such things we need to be asking about the company specific information. Then the next thing in the company specific information is, you know, asking questions about, you know, what are the promotional techniques that are used by the competitors. What are the different media that is used as a part of the marketing plan? What is the size of spending on the brand and the promotion? And then, you know, when and where they spend their money. And, you know, who enjoys the favorable position in the market, right? So such questions need to be asked. Taking again Horlicks example, you know, the promotional techniques that Horlicks uses is that, you know, obviously there's paid media like TV, there's digital that happens. But also we know that, you know, they kind of, you know, engage with the communities, communities over, let's say, Facebook, or there are platforms like ConvoSite who, you know, help them engage with the communities. So that's the promotional techniques that Horlicks has. Media, like we just said it, that there's TV, there's digital, and then there are other forms of media, like community-led media. You know, what is the size of spending? That's something that they probably would be spending around 50 CR annually to get the targeted objective. So such information, such questions we need to ask about the company specific information. Then comes share of market. Now share of market is very, very important. Now share of market, like the term itself says, is that if the category spending or if the category sales is 1,000 crore in India, and if, let's say, Horlicks gets a sale of 300 crores, then it be, then 30% is the market share of Horlicks. So that's basically, you know, a brand's own sale divided by the category sale is the share of market. Now obviously this is we are talking about an entire country level information, but this information of share of market can also be divided by individual markets. So for example, Horlicks may have a 15% share in Maharashtra, it may have a 5% share in Madhya Pradesh, right? So share of market is a very important information, because as against the competitor, it tells us whether we are doing good or bad, or we're doing okay. So share of market is an important thing, and we need to ask certain questions for that. So the questions could be, you know, what is the nature of competitors in the marketplace? Again, how many competitors are there? What is the segmentation of this competition? And then, you know, how many competitors are major? How many of them are minor? Such questions need to be asked. Then comes the share of requirements, or it can also be called as share of business. Now, taking an example to explain this, we'll continue with our same example. Now, let's say Horlicks has a 50% share. Let's say Bonvita has 25% share. Boost has 15%, and rest of the players have, let's say, 10% of share, just as an example. So, and if my ambition for 2020 as a Horlicks is that from 50% share, I need to gain it to 60%, right? Then in that case, my share of requirement, that additional 10%, okay, share of business, I'm willing to take from Bonvita, and 5%, let's say, share I'm willing to take from others. So that's our share of requirements or share of markets. So it's, if we have to define it, now, in a simple way, it basically tells us about, you know, whether our brand is being purchased primarily by our own customers or by the competitor's customers. So that's that's a share of requirements in, you know, simple terms. Now let's talk about BDI and CDI. This is a very, very crucial step in marketing, and it helps us define or prioritize the markets. Now, BDI is Brand Development Index and CDI is Category Development Index. Now, this methodology is used by advertisers and even media agencies alike to, you know, prioritize the markets. Because as we have been saying that, you know, whenever there's a marketing plan or an annual marketing plan that gets defined, brands have finite budgets, right? So even if my products probably are available in all over India, because of the finite budgets that I have, right, I cannot choose to advertise across all over India. For this, I need to sharply define what are my most important markets, and thereby I need to prioritize that. So BDI, CDI, which is Brand Development Index and Category Development Index, this model helps us do that, right? Let's understand BDI, CDI with the help of an example, okay? So in order to carry out the BDI-CDI modeling, we need primarily three things, okay? The first thing that we need is the population of the states. So imagine India, and then there are, like, you know, 28 states within India. So for that, we will need the population of individual states. So percentage of population, let's say, Maharashtra, for example, has a 15% population, UP has 18%, Goa probably has 1%, and so on and so forth. So this is the first thing that we will need, is the population dispersion by each of the individual states, okay? The second thing that we will need is the sales of the brand divided by the states, right? We'll take example of Horlicks again. So Horlicks probably has, like, let's say 20% brand sales happening in Maharashtra, 5% happening through Madhya Pradesh, and so on and so forth. So brand sales percentage is what we will need. And then we will also need the category sales dispersion by states. Okay. So three things, like I said, the population, the percentage of the population by states, then percentage of the brand sale by states, and then the percentage of category sales by states, right? So when we have these three things, right, we can calculate BDI, CDI for any brand. So let's take an example of Horlicks, and we need to prioritize market for Horlicks and make a BDI, CDI for Horlicks, right? So in this case, let's say a market like Maharashtra, okay? Let's say Maharashtra has a population, 15% population of all the India. So that's 15% population for Maharashtra. But my brand Horlicks, okay, it has, let's say 20% its sale coming from Maharashtra. Okay. However, the category, the health food drinks category, gets 18% sale from Maharashtra. So in this case, what will happen is that, you know, if we have to define our BDI, it will be the 20%, basically the percentage of brand sale divided by the population, which probably comes around 130-133%, right? Anything above 100 is considered as a high number. So which means that for Horlicks, since our index is 130%, it's a high BDI. Okay. Now the category, which is 18% divided by 15% population, which will come around 120%. So even CDI is high. So in case of Horlicks, for a market like Maharashtra, its business development index is high, and also category index is high. So what does it mean for Horlicks, right? So through this chart, right, so this chart is basically on x-axis, we have plotted whether the CDI is high or whether the CDI is low or CDI is high. On y-axis, there's low BDI and high BDI, right? So basically, there are four different possibilities. First possibility is that the CDI, the category development index, is low, and BDI, the brand development index, is also low. Now, in this case, what is happening is that, you know, because both BDI and CDI are low, it means that there's no huge potential in the market, in a specific market. And hence, we will not need to add any media to it. We will probably let that market grow organically on its own through the demand that it gets, right? We will not do any media intervention in that market. So that's low BDI, low CDI. We will not put any investment in there. Then comes the second case, wherein CDI is high, but BDI is low. What it means is that the category is doing really good, which means that there's a demand for the product, that particular product. But my brand in brand development index is low, which means that, you know, there could be some problem with my brand. Now, for this market, as a action step, we will first need to identify why our brand is not doing good. Okay, first we will need to figure out this problem, and once we figure that problem out, then we can take a call on whether we will need to invest media into that market or not, right? So maybe we will need to add the weight, but first we will have to figure out problem. There could be multiple problems, like there could be, you know, competition who is very, very aggressive in that market, or there could be you know, issues with the distribution. But yes, first we need to identify the problem, and then we can take a call on what is to be done with respect to media. Now comes the third possibility, wherein the category index is low, but the brand index is high, which means that this is a market wherein my brand is doing something better than the competitor, because of which the sales for my brand are higher than the category. What it essentially means for us is that, you know, we should continue doing what we have been doing, and on top of that, just to ensure that we keep doing better, we can probably add media weight in this market, and we will probably focus more on, you know, reaching out to incremental audiences, so that I get an incremental business in that market, right? So this was the third possibility, and then the last possibility is wherein we have the high BDI and high CDI also. Now, this is a market wherein our brand is doing good, and category is also doing good, right? So this means that it's a very, very competitive market, right? And in this market, we will have to, you know, add a media weight to be, you know, on top of the competition, right? So this was the fourth possibility, right? So this is the BDI, CDI, and with the help of BDI, CDI, we can prioritize the market. Again, linking back with the example that we had taken previously. So because for Horlicks in, let's say, Maharashtra market, the BDI was 133% and CDI was 120%, which means that it has both high BDI and high CDI, so basically Maharashtra market for Horlicks falls in this zone, right? So for this market, we will have to add more media weights in that market. But what is media weight? So one of the examples of media weight can be TV GRPs. Now, for example, continuing the same example, in Maharashtra market, we've seen for Horlicks that we need to add more media weight. So let's say per month, we've been doing 600 GRPs in Maharashtra market for Horlicks. Okay, because this market is very competitive, right? We will need to add the media weight, basically maybe from 600 GRPs, which we are doing right now, we may have to deploy maybe 700 or 800 GRPs per month in that market. So whether 700 is right or 800 is right is something that we will have to take a call based on a lot of factors, like, you know, how much GRPs the competition is spending, how much budgets do we have for that market, right? But in essence, as a way forward for that market, we will have to add media weight, right? And then there are other parameters, right? Then this share of market by geography, this, you know, budget or the financial considerations that we need to have. Then there are occasions or time-led things, right? So market share by geography, what it essentially means is that we've already discussed about what a market share is, right? But market share by geography is basically then, share of a brand's sale divided by the category sale in that particular market. So let's say India has 28 states. In that, in each of the market, a brand can have different share. So Horlicks probably can have 20% share in Maharashtra. It can have 5% share in West Bengal. It can have 10% share in MP. So knowing share by geography is very important, because then it also helps us identify the priority for that particular market. Also, it is very common to see where our brand is not doing well, whether the competition is very high in that market or low, or vice versa. Here an exception could be a new entity or a relaunched product where all the brands are selling well and which we are not doing. In that case, we will have to take a call, because if it's a new product, probably even if it's not doing well, we will still have to invest in that product, right? So this is an exception where, a BDI, CDI may not be helpful for a new launch or a new entity. Then budgets or financial constraints, right? So no company has infinite budgets, right? We all have to operate within the confines of the budgets that are given to us, right? That are given to the given by the advertiser to the media agency, right? So we have to operate within the confines of the budget, and for which the market prioritization is an excellent tool, right? It helps us identify only the priority markets for our brand. Typically what will happen is that an agency will submit multiple options of budgets for a media plan, and the client will, according to their priorities, can choose whether they want to go ahead with a media plan worth 50 lakh rupees or a media plan worth 1 crore. So for big clients, these decisions are basically taken, these budget decisions are usually taken at the start of the campaign. They don't the budget decisions are not taken month on month or campaign by campaign. It usually happens at the start of the campaign, which are usually called as AOPs or annual operating processes. That time these budget calls are taken by the advertisers. And then the last thing is the occasion or the timing. Basically, taking example of India, it's a very, very culturally diverse country, right? There are so many festivals that keep on coming. There's a lineup that kind of happens right from, let's say, August till the end of December. And hence, timing is very crucial. A lot of advertisers may decide to, have their sales during the festival period. So timing for the campaign, advertising campaign, is also a very crucial thing that we need to consider. As an example, 1st July is celebrated as a World Doctor Day. So a lot of pharmaceutical brands can actually, construct their campaigns only for this day, can also launch certain products on this occasion, right? So occasions play a very important role. Again, taking a very recent example in my own work, that now 14th November is coming, which is the World Diabetes Day, and for one of our brands which is into the diabetic space, it's a very, very good opportunity that we can do a communication that is revolving around the World Diabetes Day, so that there's a relatability between the marketing campaign and the occasion that is happening, right? So the timing is very important from a context or relevance point of view. So that's about it. That's in brief the media from a marketing perspective, marketing point of view. In the next chapter, we will discuss paid media, the paid traditional media. Thank you.